Hi, and welcome to our Christmas Eve service this evening. Blessing of all of you who braved the snow today and the winter weather. I just wanted to invite you again that we will be having a service on Sunday at 10 a.m. As per usual. So if you want to make it for that as well, that would be great. So why don't we take a moment and quiet ourselves and prepare for worship. So now we're going to start with the lighting of the Christ candle.
Christmas Eve is the long night when all who listen await the child's cry. We watch and we pray. We know our God will come. As we light the final candle of the Advent season, the Christ candle, we trust that hope, love, joy, and peace are born to us again this year. We need it more than ever. Like this small and momentous light, we notice that a flicker can change the whole room. The cold gives way to warmth. Conflict gives way to calm. The darkness gives way to light. We share the small flame of love with one another and with the world God loves. In us and around us, Christ of all, be light.
This evening, we come together, and this is the night where we have long waited for, the night where the Creator comes. It's also a night that we remind ourselves of a promise that the Creator who came will return. This is a promise of a light that has come and broken in the darkness, that the darkness cannot overcome. It's also a promise that he will fulfill what he promised, that he will one day set to rights all things. As we worship today, let us find ourselves in that place by that manger, in awe and wonder. Now I'm going to invite all of you today to just remain seated at the beginning, the first part of the worship service. After the homily, we'll stand and we will sing, but let's just sit and marinate. Sing along with the songs, but listen to the words of the story again and remind yourselves how amazing they are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good and awesome God. On this night, we celebrate the night that you broke in, where you fulfilled the promise to the prophets that a child would be born, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. We celebrate the joy of knowing you care enough for us that you became like us. And we celebrate the peace, the hope, and the love you surround us with. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us when we forget the hope in you, when we let the fears of this world, the fears of viruses and economics and family issues overwhelm us, when we forget that you've already won. Lord, breathe upon us now by your Holy Spirit. Fill us so that we may know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Long lay the world
Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea and beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. The bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. Oh, be fuel for the fire, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore. Month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Announcing Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria."
Good news of great joy for every woman and every man. This will be a sign in you, a baby born in Bethlehem. Come and worship, do not be afraid. On the earth, peace among those on whom his favor rests. Come and worship, but do not be afraid.
Magi visit to the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to open our eyes and our ears right now, that you take us into the depth of what you're about and what this whole evening is ultimately about, so that we may know you. Amen. What is Christmas Eve about? Well, it's a birth story. And as we know, it's a story about a king coming to earth, a story about the prophets claiming that one day something great would happen. We've all heard this story so many times. But what's it ultimately really about? I don't think we hear that enough. You know, some people tend to think of Christmas like the day when the boss came to the workplace. Have you ever heard of this show? Anybody ever heard of this? Undercover Boss? Okay, so the basic premise, and I checked with my wife to make sure I had this right, is that you take a guy who's like a huge CEO of a company, and then what you do is you dress him down so that he's unrecognizable, and then you put him in one of his local places that he owns. So I think one was Papa John's Pizza, and the guy who owned that ended up coming into a pizza dealer. You get the point. Zuckerberg could go into which one is he? Facebook? One of them. But that's the point. You come in and you dress down. You go from being a CEO to a lowly employee. And the purpose in this show is to see how his place really functions, right? It's getting right down to the nitty-gritty with the lowly people who work there. And basically, he, according to what I've read and my wife, he will find some people that are working hard who've had a bad life, and he will praise them and sometimes even give them gifts, special things, pay for their college. And at other times, he runs into workers who are doing a very poor job, he or she, because it's also she's, and they get in yelling matches, and I don't know if they've ever fired anyone. Anne, have they ever fired? Well, she doesn't know either. But it's reality television. And a lot of people tend to think of this as kind of like God coming down to earth to make sure everything's going okay. And then finding some good people and saying, okay, you get the bonus, you can come to heaven. Or those who aren't doing so well, the other place. What's unfortunate about this is it misses the scandalous nature of this story. And it misses the powerful reality of what this story is trying to tell us. I'm going to go to a different gospel than what you read today. Those are great readings, guys. You're going to be on the list now as readers in our church. The gospel I'm going to go to is John's gospel. See, John is like the meta-narrative. He's the guy who's going to tell you the biggest picture. The others tell you, don't get me wrong, the gospel, but John, he just gets right into it. Because he's telling the story from the level of creation, in the beginning. And listen to what he says. In the beginning was the Word. Now, for most of us, that might be foreign. But to a Jew, a first century Jew, they knew what this meant. The Word meant God's presence on earth. That's how they thought of that. They had three ways of God's presence: His Spirit, His Word, and His wisdom. So they know right away, God, Word, this is what brought forth creation. And it says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They wouldn't have had trouble with any of that. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. So this Word creates all things. And without Him, not one thing came into being. Not one little microbe. What has come into being in Him was life. He's the originator of life. He's the originator of creation. He's God. He's the one who made everything. And the life was the light of all people. This is the life that's beyond just breathing. It's this life, this transcendent life that everybody wants. This is the story. The Word being the Creator. That's not the scandal. The scandal comes next. And the Word became flesh. The eternal became temporal. That which made everything was comprised into an infant. Do you know, I'm going to tell you something. Even back then, they knew that was a strange, strange claim. They understood the scope of the greatness of the universe, not like we do. They didn't have the Hubble telescope, but they understood just by the knowledge they had that this thing was gigantic. And whoever made this was gigantic more. And then the story is that everything that's been created, the Creator is in an infant. We've heard this too many times. Everything that was created, the Creator, was found in a baby. And He tabernacled, or He made His house. Lived isn't what I like. He made His house amongst us. That is an unbelievable claim. And we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This baby is the Creator of everything, even the microbes. And He becomes a baby. The point of this story actually is not of a boss coming down to check it out. It is the absolute, complete giving over of His rights and power. He chose to be a baby. Have you ever been around a baby? Ever had that little baby in your arms and you're worried you're going to break it? I was freaked out with my kids. I dropped two of them, but they're fine. I won't say which two. It's a joke. The Creator of all things. That's scandalous to make such a claim. That's beyond belief. And that's the point. We're supposed to actually come to the manger every year and go, this is impossible. This is stunning. This is bizarre. The great Frederick Buchner said, the incarnation is a kind of vast joke where the Creator of the ends of the earth comes amongst us in diapers. Until we too have taken the idea of God-man seriously enough to be scandalized by it, we have not taken it as seriously as it demands to be taken. Paul knew that. Paul talks about Jesus being a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. But what if I told you that was the whole point? That the whole point was to be offensive. Because there's something inherently wrong with us. And you know what that is? We like to think we're God. That we have knowledge and power beyond what we have. And no matter how many COVIDs come, we still want to convince ourselves that we're in charge. We still want to convince ourselves that we know what is proper and right, what should be. And so a God who's good does something that blows our mind and does something that shouldn't be. That's the point. He comes into this earth to shock us out of our darkness. You see, when you believe you're God, you believe you know everything. And trust me, my friends, it's in our DNA to think that way. And the God of heaven and earth comes down and chooses to be a baby to make fun of us who think we're so wise. And through that, he brings salvation. Through that little infant there, he changes the world in the ways that we don't think you should change the world. You change the world in our world with swords and knives and power. This baby does it the exact opposite. John describes it this way. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. Why? Because they all thought they were gods. And they couldn't know the real God when you're God. He came to what was his own. His own people did not accept him. Even those he'd revealed himself through again and again and again. Through prophets. Through the wisdom teachers. Through creation stories. He showed himself again and again and again. And they don't even know him. And then he says this great thing, John. But to all who received him. This word's an interesting one. Received is not something you earn. It's something you accept. It's a very different thing. You don't choose when you receive, you accept. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. He gave them power to become children. Children of God. Not to become God, but to become children. Weak, dependent beings. Who were born not of blood. In other words, it wasn't because you have the right bloodline. Or the will of the flesh. Oh, work hard enough and God will like me. That's what gods do. Or the will of man. But by God alone. What he did is he took the whole religious drive of humanity since the beginning of time to be like God and control the gods. And he says, I am going to become completely powerless. And the only way you come to know me is by knowing me as that kind of God. And you became a child of God. That's what this is about. This is a story of salvation. A rescue mission. It's a story of a God who wants to show you who God really is because you and I are blind. And how does he do it? He comes in and he shocks us and he becomes a savior by becoming nothing. Karl Barth was preaching to a bunch of inmates who were nothings. He was preaching on the Christmas story and he was talking about the same thing. And he says something that I think needs repeating. The Savior is he who brings us salvation, granting us all things needed and salutary. He is the helper, the liberator, the redeemer, as not man, but God alone can be and really is. He stands by us, he rescues us, he delivers us from the deadly plague. Now we live because he, the Savior, is with us. Not because we're anything. You want to know why this story happens and why we should worship is because when you look at Jesus, you look at God. You know, when that CEO comes and he dresses down, by the end of the show, he's dressed up again. And he leaves them and goes off to live the CEO life again. This God doesn't leave. When he put on the clothes of humanity, he kept them on. He stuck with us, the nobodies, so we might stick with him, the somebodies. Irenaeus, the great church father, said this in the second century. For this is why the Word became man, and the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that man, by entering into communion with the Word and thus receiving divine sonship, might become a son of God. The whole purpose of this story is so you and I might become his children. But we can only become his children if we start following a God of a manger. Because it's a God of a manger that ends up carrying a cross. It's a God of a manger who hangs out with prostitutes and tax collectors. It's a God of a manger where everybody's welcome. It's a God of a manger that is the God that lives. And he's the only one that you can know that's real. Ultimately, Christmas becomes about all those things we've heard a million times. Commercialization, happy times, good feelings. But ultimately what Christmas is our God becoming like us so we can become like him. And you know what he's like? Humble, self-giving, and love. And if he's going to be your king, expect to be a child. Dependent, self-giving, and loving. I'm convinced that if the church took serious the manger, we couldn't keep people out. Because we would be a church that doesn't judge and hate, doesn't demand you look a certain way, but rather demands that you be loved. I want to read this quote. I have to get my spectacles on for this one, because I found it so powerful. The incarnation is what those inside and outside the Christian faith are looking for. And if every Jesus follower truly got it, it would fix every negative stereotype people have about Christians, Christianity, and the church. The incarnation of Jesus will give you proof that God understands how hard it is to be human. And it will help you to see how to be human to the fullest. The choice is yours and mine. Will we believe in this God? Because there's no God like him. A God that would empty himself out so that you might be glorified with him. It'll change the way you live, and I'll tell you what, it'll change the way you view Christmas from here on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you revealed yourself through your Son, that you would live with us as a fully human, that you would embrace us, that you would shock us by becoming a baby, and that you would show us that it is in receiving, in weakness and selfless love that you live and breathe and have your being. May you fill us with your Holy Spirit tonight. Because truly, Lord, we need an encounter with you to ever understand this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Feel free to stand and sing.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, in the mountains in the fight, echoing their joyous strains. Oh, in its house is
now, did you guys get some candles? Everybody got a candle? If I can get the house lights down. I love doing this because it reminds me again and again when you light this candle that the light has come into the world. Does everyone, if you don't have one, please raise your hand. I think Mitzi's handing some out. I'm going to raise my hand. I don't have one. So, perfect. Thanks, guys. Oh, we got a couple over there. So as we sing this, let's remind ourselves that the light of the world came in on that morning.
Silent night,
Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight.
What a gift, Father. What a light. What hope. We celebrate you this evening. We celebrate your Son. And we celebrate your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you take the weak things of this world and you raise them up. And you oppose the proud. Help us to be your children this evening, following you, emptying ourselves and receiving your grace, so that we can be like you and we can be children of the living God. Amen. Now go in the peace that this means. Go and walk truthfully as a person who's received grace and share it with others. And on that day, when we see him again, and we will, you will hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.